Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. This is Bev Herring and my handsome husband Harold is, well, otherwise detained with his mom. I wanted to read our Do Not Fear scripture today, and that's from 1 Kings 17:13. Pick this out myself and you'll see why in a few minutes. It says this, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Today we're going to be talking about you've got more than you see. Years and years ago, when my husband and we were kids, we were just in our early 20s, we moved to North Carolina, and he became director of development for a Christian college in not very far from where we live today. And he raised money for the college. And he went to see a successful farmer about a donation. So after giving the farmer his passionate message about investing in Christian education for the leaders of tomorrow, he began to tell, the gentleman began to tell my husband that it had not been a good year financially. He claimed that the year was even worse than the year before. Now, my husband knew something about his financial situation because his daughter attended the college, and she was always talking about her daddy. For instance, my husband knew he'd purchased a new truck, thanks to her, $30,000 at that time. He bought a new Corvette for his wife, that was $40,000, a new car for his daughter, $25,000, a new tractor, $60,000, and a new combine for harvesting his wheat at $70,000. So my husband smiled as he, cited all these different things that he'd paid, that he knew that he'd paid for in cash. And my husband said he would never forget how serious the guy was when he was confronted with this. And he goes, "Well, yes, I paid cash for all that stuff, but I didn't have near as much money left over to put in the bank as I did last year." Sometimes the success truly of the year is determined, and it's like it was in this gentleman's idea and in his mind, on how much he had left over after he'd put out $250,000 in cash for stuff. In his mind, it had been a bad year because he hadn't put as much in the bank. What conditions have to exist for us to declare our situation to be bad? For some people, it might be the reality of your home being foreclosed on because you're 3 months behind on the payments. For others, missing the payment on their Mercedes-Benz would be a desperate situation. The severity of the financial crisis depends on a person's perspective or what they are, in fact, experiencing at the moment. If there was a single woman in your church and you discovered that she and her son are down to their last meal, would you consider that she is in a desperate situation? How do we view our own unmet needs? But regardless of that question, the real question is, how does God view our situations? And that brings us to 1 Kings 17, verse 12. It says, "And the widow woman said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die." God had sent the prophet to see this widow at Zarephath. A lesser man of God might have wondered what God was up to when he saw how poor this woman was. But Elijah knew that God sent him there and would not have sent him there without a plan. When the widow looked around, she thought she was going to die. The scripture indicates that God had given her an instruction. But from her words to Elijah, she had despaired of that answer coming. Have you ever felt that way? You don't say no, because I can tell you, if you're human and living on planet Earth, there's been a time when you're going, "Okay, God, what's happening?" Child of God, you're about to discover something really powerful in 1 Kings 17:9. And this is what it says. "Arise, go thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." I'm sure in the natural, it did not appear that this widow woman could be the one that would sustain the prophet. I'm sure that when she heard that word from the Lord, that she was to sustain the prophet, she's going, God, are you sure you got the right widow woman? The Amplified Bible part of this verse says, I have commanded a woman there to provide for you. New Living Translation says, I have instructed a widow there to feed you. And the New Century Version says, I have commanded a woman there to take care of you. So are you seeing this in your mind's eye? Here's a woman who thinks she's about to have her last meal with her son and die. The circumstances, yes, the circumstances were undoubtedly very real to her. Everybody was in a famine. But the truth recorded in the Word of God said her purpose was to sustain, provide for, feed, and take care of the prophet. God saw something in her finances that she didn't see yet. Wow, God, that is a rich thought. So we want you to write this down. God sees something in, this is the way you need to word it. God sees something in my finances today that I do not see yet. Did you catch that? God sees something in my finances today that I do not see yet. The widow didn't see what God was about to do in her finances. Truthfully, it was probably something Elijah didn't see with a natural eye either, but he accepted by faith in the direction of the Lord, truly because he knew that God was good for it. In 1 Kings 17:13, it says, And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me and after make for thee and for thy son. So now you know why I picked that scripture for today. The prophet gave the widow very specific instructions in this verse. The first one was fear not. Have you ever come up upon a situation and you go, it's hard not to fear? No doubt the widow was thinking, that's easy for you to say, you're not the one dying here. The second thing Elijah said to her was go. We can't just stand around talking. We need to do what God says to do and do it now. Three, it says do. There are so many believers who spend so much time just talking about what they're going to do instead of just getting out there and doing it. And number four, he said, make me a cake first. How would you respond if you were down to your last meal and a man of God stops by and goes, well, make me a meal first before you feed yourself and your son, knowing that you're down to your last meal? That would have made the nightly news. Number five, bring it to me. Not only did the prophet want her to make her last cake, but then he said to her, hey, don't eat it, bring it to me. And six, make a cake then for you and your son. So he's given her an instruction. He's given her permission to have something for herself after she's made a seed offering and taken care of the prophet, giving him food, giving him water, and then what she was actually thinking at the time would be her last meal. She's giving it to the prophet. So he tells her then, well, then she'd have permission to make a cake for herself. This widow woman faced many obstacles that could make her doubt what the man of God said, but she went ahead and obeyed his instructions anyway. Sometimes we can think we are at the end with nowhere to turn. But the truth of the matter is, I doubt that anyone hearing my voice today has faced the prospect of one last meal before your child and you die. She was not in a position to beg from other people. Nobody had anything anyway. It was due to the famine. This widow woman had a choice in the most dire of circumstances. She just chose really to look beyond her situation and acted in faith on the word given to her by the man of God. And as a result, this widow woman is told in 1 Kings 17:14, next verse, in the New Living Translation, it says, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. Wow, what a word, because she reached out in faith and did what the man of God said. You know, I'm sure that if she had not responded in faith on the word, things could have very easily been different. There is a spirit of poverty and lack that makes people want to hold on to everything they have in total fear that that's all that they will ever have. There are some people who are so fearful, we used to laugh at this when we go to church, that they squeeze George Washington until he cries before they drop him in that offering plate. But here's what this Lord is stirring in me today. Hold on too tightly to what you have, and you definitely are going to lose it. You need to understand how God views our finances and then obey his directions, and you find them straight out of the book, the Word of God. No matter what's in your bank account today, we need to remember that you've got more than you can see. You know why? Because you have the Lord God behind you. God sees things in your finances that you don't see yet. You know, God is doing more for you right now. We love to say this. Harold's one of his favorites. God is doing more for you right now that you can't see, so he can bring into manifestations things that you're going to see. Think of that. Think on that. I mean, that is powerful words from the Word of God. Well, it just kind of got laid on me in a hurry. But if you enjoyed today's lesson, then just go to haroldherring.com, click on Sow a Seed, and just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. That is all we ever ask. And we pray that you have the best day ever. Hallelujah. And until tomorrow morning, well, think on these things all day, but until tomorrow morning, my husband likes to say happy trails, and I like to say, keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you and we appreciate you so much, and we love you tuning in to us every day. Have a great day today.